any other thing. We're going to be on speedboat this morning a little bit, and that we will be covering more verses than we generally do, because we're really into repetitive part of Proverbs, where we're saying the same thing we discussed, maybe put in a different way, but it doesn't mean we won't stop and go over verses by verse if we have questions on them. The object is not to skip over anything. The object is to just make sure that we fully understand what Proverbs has been teaching us up to this point. We're in Proverbs 27, by the way. We're going to start with verse 18. So everybody be aware of that. And if you have questions, please. If you have comments, please stop in, because I don't want to overlook something that's important to you or important to the rest of us, for that matter. Proverbs 27, verse 18 says, "Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, and he that regardeth the master shall be honored." This is basically what Paul had in mind when he wrote 2 Timothy 2:6. Just as the fig tree requires constant care, but also yields so much fruit, the administration of a faithful servant will not be without its due rewards. To quote 2 Timothy is, the hard-working farmer must be the first to partake of his crop. It's almost the exact same meaning. If you work hard, you get that tree to grow, and you fertilize it, and you take care of it, and you prune it, then you certainly should be the first to partake of the fruit of it. Verse 19, as in water, face answers faith. Face, so the heart of man to man. It's kind of an axiom. Still water serves almost like a mirror, if you look into it.
My translation said, as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart.
That's exactly what it means to you. That's exactly what it means. You can be a gracious person, and that's from your heart, and that's reflected to the person that you're talking to, or you can be a pleasant person. It's true evidence of what you truly are.
Well, it also, you know, our way of how we conduct ourselves in life should reflect who we are and who we belong to.
We'll get a verse coming up that almost answers that, your reputation that you have.
Yes.
Throughout your life. Verse 20, shield and the bad man are never satisfied, and the eyes of man are never satisfied. Mm-hmm. Shield and bad man both refer to death, finality, but it's never satisfied. It's always going to be death. And the eyes of man are never satisfied. Hell and destruction are insatiable. I mean, it will never end. Chapter 15, verse 11, if you went back to that, was almost a repetition of that. We've gone over that with them. Just like gambling and other vices, such as drinking alcohol, one beverage will call for another, so will the straying eye. You look one time, you can keep looking. The refining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, that's how you refine and get the impurities out. And a man is tried by his praise. That would be his reputation, Judy, you were talking about. Mm-hmm. The praise you get after you're gone, that you acquire in this world, your refining. Number 22. Though thou shouldest bray a fool in a mortar with a pestle along with bruised grain, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. No matter how much you berate him, no matter how much you correct him, no matter how much you try to show him where he's wrong, some people just have foolishness deep in. His nature is that he's a fool, he's folly. Here's some verses, verses 23 to 27, concerning animals. So if you have a pet, this is referring to the livestock that they had in the day, and that's how you determine a man's wealth, is how much livestock he had of his wealth. But he also had an obligation to take care of them. And this refers to where we have animals for pets. You should, if you own it, you should take care of it. You have a responsibility not to neglect it. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks. You should know where they are and how they're doing. And look well to thy herds. Keep track of them. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown. And that was what riches were back in those days, was his herds. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure for all, and doth the crown endure unto all generations. The hay is carried. It means you carry it to the barn. You gather it up, carry it to the barn so that it has something to eat. And the herbs of the mountains are gathered. The lambs are for their clothing, and the goats are the price of the field. And there will be goats, milk enough for thy food, and food for thy household, and maintenance for thy maidens. Just the value of animals were to that day, and how you should take care of them, where we don't have that herd or those goats. Most of us don't anyway. Then whatever we do have in the way of an animal should be well taken care of. Should not be neglected. If you can't take care of it, then you give it to someone who will take care of it. So that finishes chapter 27, and we'll go on 28. Anybody have any questions about what we've read so far? 28:1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. This is a contrast between a criminal whose guilty conscience compels him to flee and always look behind him, wonder who's behind him, who's going to catch up with him, always think somebody's after him, and what righteous man stands up and is bold. He has nothing to fear. It says a crook will run away when no one is even chasing him. Number 2, for the transgressions of the land, many are the princes thereof, but by men of understanding and knowledge, as men of wisdom and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. When you have an evil country, there will be many rulers. One will get killed or assassinated or kicked out, big changeover, constant changeover. But when you have men of understanding or a nation of men of understanding, then some sort of stability will exist there. And we, in case of the leaders of our land, have a stable transfer of power. Whenever we have it with other countries, they either just kicked out or run out or they killed one. Because all for the stability and peace. All right. Number 3. A needy man that oppresses the poor is like a sweeping rain that leaveth no food. It's hard to understand how a poor person will oppress another poor person. Generally, they go after somebody who has some extra, or they think they have extra, and they should take it away from them. But it happens. And if it happens, it's like a poor man feeling that, I got nothing, and you took what I don't have. How are you going to take what you don't have from me?
Well, Terry, my translation said a ruler who oppresses the poor is like a driving rain that leaves no crops.
That makes more sense than what this one does. But this happened, by the way. You can't have whose other verses? Anybody else got another version of that? Is it yours like that?
No, mine says what yours says.
Needed for him. Poor man, neither. But there are poor people who steal from anybody. They don't.
Yeah.
You know. And there are rich people who steal from anybody. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. We've been warned over and over not to praise what wicked men do. You do not praise them, but you let the law take care of them. You don't take that into your own hands. You obey the law. Number 5. Evil men understand no justice, But they that seek Jehovah understand all things. That's spelled out, by the way, in Romans 1:18-32 covers that whole thing of praising of evil men trying to rule over the righteous people. Verse 6 is, we've covered in other proverbs, better the poor man that walketh in integrity, better be poor and walk with uprightness with God, than be crooked or evil, though, and be rich because of it. Do not envy the rich man. Do not envy the rich man. Another variation of this, which is very close to it, back in chapter 19, verse 1, if they might want to make a note on that. If you went back to that, it's almost a direct. Verse 7, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of gluttons shameth his father. Many verses we've had on how sons should respect their parents, and how when they do, then they bring glory to the parents. But if you're a companion, it says, man says of gluttons, but if you're a companion of fools, then you'll be a shame to your father and mother. An obedient son, a prudent son, will bring joy and honor to his father. Back in chapter 10, verse 1, and chapter 29, verse 3, coming up. Number 8, he that augmenteth his substance by interest and increase gathereth for him that hath pity on the poor. To understand this, that in back in that day, they would not only lend money, but they would lend crops or part of crops, bushels of wheat or whatever, or lend animals for a farmer to start off to have his own animals. But in return, they not only required that amount back, but they would put interest on it, which means you had to pay me more back. And when he says augmented, he means to do it extravagantly, above what was normal or what was right. And you have money lenders out here today who will lend you money and it's at a much higher interest rate. But if you don't pay it, you know what they do. Some of these, I'm talking about independent, I'm not talking about banks. They'll come at you. They'll what's called break of your leg, you know, to get their money back. But they generally have high interest rate on their money. This proverb states that unscrupulous loan sharks who amass fortunes by such tactics were merely gathering wealth that a successor would later on distribute to the poor because they'll lose it. If you get it ungainfully, you'll lose it ungainfully. If you got it crooked, then you'll lose it. Number 9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. We've heard that word abomination mentioned quite a few times. That's something that God does not like. It's an abomination to him. So when he made or commanded us to obey man's law, he means it. You don't subvert man's law and then go to God in prayer as if you've not done any harm or not done any sin. The same thing was said about the wicked man's sacrifice. It's an abomination. His very thoughts, evil thoughts, an abomination. Verse 10. Whoso causeth the upright to go astray in evil ways, he shall find himself in his own pit, but the perfect shall inherit the good. We basically covered this proverb before. Be careful to lead someone else astray. You're not only going to pay for the sin for it, and they will pay for the sin for it, and you'll be responsible for them. Do not teach if you're not prepared to teach and speak the truth. Do not speak untruths, because then you'll be responsible for the sins of that fellow that you've led astray. He who tempts the upright to evil courses will himself fall in the pit which he has dug. Number 11, the rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor hath understanding, searcheth him out. The rich may fool themselves into thinking they're really wise and good, but poor people soon see through the mask to their true worth. Riches will do a lot of things for you. A lot of things that cause corruption and get you in trouble. Number 12, when the righteous triumph, there's great glory. But when the wicked rise, men hide themselves. A great illustration of this is when Stalin came into power, people feared for their lives. He was basically a mass killer of people he didn't like or trust, or who resisted him. He that coveteth his transgressions shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall obtain mercy. In other words, confess to what you've done wrong. Confess to God. Confess to your brother. Christians are not commanded to confess to any kind of a pope, prelate, is what I have here, or any other representative of the church. We're commanded to confess our sins one to another. James 5:16. And that is a mutual affair, one to another. It also says that every tongue shall confess to God. Romans 14:11 and 15:9. Nowhere in here it says there's an intermediary in there. We got to go to him. Number 14. Happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Happy is the man who lives in fear of sin. Reckless men will come to grief because of it. Number 15. As a roaring lion and a ranging bear, so is a wicked ruler over poor people. And Israel had many examples of that in their history. Number 16, the prince that lacketh understanding is also a great oppressor, but he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. We've been told in the first part of Proverbs that you can add days to your life by getting wisdom. But if you lack understanding, which is common sense, you're also oppressive. Number 17, a man that is laden with the blood of any person shall flee into the pit. Let no man stay him. If a man is burdened with the blood of another, let him be a fugitive until his death. Do not take him in. Do not cover for him. Do not shield him. Do not hide him. And I don't know how you can get more plain than that. We know that people escape from prison, and that first of all, they'll go to a friend's house. Or to rob his house. And they'll try to aid him in some sort of way. You're not to do that. Not that we'll have that opportunity, but if we know of anybody that do not do that. Number 18, whoso walketh uprightly shall be delivered, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. A man of blameless life is safe, of course. The pitfalls are going to bring down the crooked man. These are basically additions to the common sense proverbs that we've had up to this point. I have to ask and remind you, this should be putting it all together. We'll try to do it in the last class. I want to tell you how many activities in life that Proverbs cover, how we should respond or act or be, and it's going to amaze you. I can't think of it. I went over the list. It's a long, long list of what it does not cover. But it's up to us to put them together. God's common sense. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread. Remember we've talked about this, being a sluggard and not even getting up to bring food to your mouth. He that tilleth a man shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty. Careful who you follow, what your attitude is. That's almost exactly the same thing as Proverbs 12:11, if you want to make a reference of that. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not go unpunished. Paul admonished the Christians in the strongest language, striving to be rich, in 1 Timothy 6:6-10 about that. Don't try to get rich quick. Schemes. Somebody's going to be hurt by that. Number 21, to have respect of persons is not good. We've gone over this many times. Neither that a man should transgress for a piece of bread. Probably on that second line, the best thing would be that because we just had the one about the respect of persons right above it. If a judge was to be judging someone in court, this is why we have to be careful who we let be our judges. If he'll change, and if he'll take a bribe, let me come back and just say it. If he's up to bribes, and there are judges who take bribes from lawyers, because I know one, what I'm thinking of, they're not in office now, and change his mind. That's not good. That's not good. Some people will do it, in the case I know, it was for $100. It was a great change on the man. Number 5, verse 22. He that hath an evil eye hasteth after riches, and knoweth not that want shall come upon him. Another one talking about trying to get money rich quick, doing evil things to get rich. Prime example of this was Bernie Madoff. Anybody remember Bernie Madoff going about 10 years ago or something like that? Oh man, he was cheating people out of money hand over fist. And he was making so much of it, people were afraid to question how he was doing it. He was supposed to be an investment type thing. Then they found out it was all a fraud. Many, many persons lost billions of dollars. They lost billions of dollars. Number 5, verse 23. He that rebuketh a man shall afterward find favor, if you do it in love, a friend. But he that flattereth with the tongue. To rebuke one who deserves it is a courageous thing to do for us, to stand up to do that. And only one's true friend will do it. James 5:19 is a good verse to go with that. Verse 24. Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer. Remember the example that was given about how the Pharisees were getting away from taking care of their elderly parents by saying they gave money to Corbin, they donated to Corbin or whatever, and it was just a way of them not having to take the responsibility to take care of the parents. He says it's a sin to do that. The same as a companion of a destroyer. Thought I had it. Mark 7:10-13, I think, will explain that. He that is of a greedy spirit stirreth strife, but he that putteth his trust in Jehovah shall be made fat. Be good, wise. Somebody put it, says, ancient view of this was many wise men said, be good, get rich, be bad, and you'll be poor. Verse 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. It has to be at least 5 or 6 or 7 proverbs in there that cover that. Seek advice. Don't trust her that you know everything. You don't need any advice. Many prior proverbs on that. But whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered, shall be saved. That's exactly what delivered means there, shall be saved. Verse 27, he that giveth unto the poor shall not go lack. Remember, they're God's people. You take it, you loan it to God when you do that. You loan it to God was one of the proverbs we had on that. But he that hides his eyes turns away, doesn't want to see it, doesn't even want to think about it, shall have many a curse on him. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 11 covers that very well. Verse 28, when the wicked rise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous shall increase. We've already covered this in quite a few companion verses, chapter 11, 10, chapter 12 here, again in 29, 2, it's going to be coming up, a verse on that. Anybody have any thoughts or comments? We're wise. All right, let's step over and catch a few verses in 29. Chapter 29. He that being often removed hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Hard-headedness. Stubbornness. One day that's going to cause you and said you'll be destroyed. Verses 13, chapter 13, 18, and 15, 10 also warn of a man who hates to be corrected. We've covered that. When the righteous increase, the people rejoice, but when the wicked man beareth rule, the people sigh. Another word for that would be the people lament. They're sorrowful. Discussion on that was in back in 28:28, verse 28:28. Verse 3. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots wasteth his substance. Every father is proud. The son that has wisdom. But he that keepeth with harlots, which is sin, which is one example of sin, wasteth his substance. Licentiousness is put in there as being in the opposite of wisdom in chapter 2, verse 10, chapter 16, verses 5, 1, chapter 16, 5, 1 through, 1 through 3. Chapter 6, verse 23, 24, chapter 9, verse 1, and 13. Lots of examples of that. Proverbs we've had on that subject. By the way, it continues. Chapter 23, 13, 24, 27. Verse 13 and 24, and then chapter 27, verse 11. Lots of verses. Number 4. The king by justice establishes land, but he that exacteth gifts overthrow it. A king by justice gives stability to the land, but if he takes exception to that and tries to get more, be excessive, then he'll ruin it. or he takes bribery, or he takes gifts. All of those things that he has within his power will ruin that. Number five, a man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his own steps. One should always be suspicious of a fulsome praise. When you're lavish with praise, you better say, well, what does he want? What is he doing? Be aware of that. Number six, in the transgression of an evil man, there's a snare, but the righteous go sing and rejoice. A snare is that the sinner is caught and held fast by his sin. He's unwilling and unable to break. But a man that's forgiven, God has forgiven him, therefore he sings. He's happy. He's forgiven. Number seven, the righteous taketh knowledge of the cause of the poor. The wicked man hath not understanding to know it. We don't know by now what our obligations are to the poor. We know how God loved the poor and expects us to take care of them. But the wicked man does not understand, does not have common sense to even know it. Christ himself said, blessed are ye poor. Verse 8, scoffers set a city in the flame, but wise men turn away wrath. Unscrupulous men kindle fire in the city. The sensible discourage party spirit, riots in the streets, invasion king. Verse 9, if a wise man hath a controversy with a foolish man, whether he be angry or laugh, there will be no rest. We're warned to get into conversations or debates with foolish people. Whether he'd be an angry man or he'll laugh about it, shrugs it off, you haven't solved anything. You haven't solved anything. Doesn't say you shouldn't talk to them and point out what they're doing wrong, but you don't get into a debate with them over and over and over. When an intelligent man brings a lawsuit against a fool, the fool only laughs and becomes louder and abusive because of it. If a wise man has an argument with a fool, the fool only rages and laughs. There's no peace after that. Verse 10, the bloodthirsty hate him that is perfect, and for the upright they seek his life. The inherent antagonism between good and evil, bad men, good men, righteousness and wickedness, between God and sin, is always going to exist. Always going to exist. Verse 11, a fool uttereth all his anger, but a wise man keepeth it back and stilleth it. Means you can have anger. You can have anger. Just don't sin because of that anger. But a fool will spurt it out continuously. If you keep your mouth shut, there's no argument. There's only one person. You've got to argue back for there to be an argument going on. Stupid people express their anger openly, but sensible people are patient. They hold back. They keep silent. Verse 12, if a ruler hearkeneth to falsehood, all his servants are wicked. Wicked ruler, all your servants will be wicked. You think they don't know what you're doing? They're going to do the same thing. It'd be like the manager of a store. If he's taking stuff that doesn't belong to him, you bet those employees are going to take stuff that doesn't belong to them. They're not stupid. Verse 13, the poor man and the oppressor meet together. Jehovah lighteneth the eyes of them both. This is the equivalent of God making the sun to rise on the evil and the good and send his rain on the just and the unjust. It's just those some things just happen in life. They just happen in life. But God, Jehovah, will enlighten both of them. One will find his destination with God, and the other will find out he's not going to God. He's going to another place. Number 14, the king that faithfully judges the poor, his throne shall be established forever. That's a godly king. Chapter 16, verse 12 basically says the same thing. Chapter 25, verse 12 says the same thing. Verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself causes shame to his mother. Again, how many verses have we had on the way to raise a child? And corporal punishment is not prohibited. When I say corporal punishment, I mean whipping with a switch, or slapping the hand when they shouldn't be doing something that was behind. Many verses in Proverbs, we can go back to supplement that one. Verse 16, when the wicked are increased, transgressions increase. But the righteous shall look upon their fall. They can increase all they want to, but in the end, the righteous will prevail. God will prevail. Other Proverbs saying the same thing. Chapter 11, verse 10 and 11. Chapter 28, verses 12 and 28. And then, of course, verse 2 above. Number 17. Correct thy son, and he will give thee rest. Yea, he will be a delight unto thy soul. A delight. Again, many times we've had that verse. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Number 19, a servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understand, he will not give heed. Servant he had mentioned is one who's is reluctant to be obedient. Such a person will definitely refuse to be properly instructed. He resisted. Verse 20 is one y'all have heard over and over in Proverbs. Seest thou a man is hasty with his words, quick to speak, will be first to get in conversation, wants to tell you everything he knows. There's more hope for a fool than that man. Be careful. This is same thing in Proverbs 26:12. If you want to reference that back, he who is wise in his own conceit, basically, is what he's saying. Verse 21: He that delicately bringeth up a servant from a child shall have him as a son in the last. And many times become parts of his inheritance. Verse 22, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a wrathful man aboundeth in transgressions. Anger will cause a person to do many simple things. Get out of control. Lose control. We can have anger, but you don't show it. It goes back to chapter 15, verse 18 and 22, verse 24. In verse 23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but he that is of a lowly spirit shall gain honor. We had many proverbs on that, but go and don't sit up in front of them. Unless you, the chief come in and tell you to go back. You don't belong up there. I got somebody else that's up there. You said the baggage. Maybe the chief come to you, come up to the front. Pride. If you got pride and want to do that, one day it's going to bring you low. Same verses in chapter 11, verse 2, chapter 16, verses 18 through 19. Pride, insolence, arrogance, all same category. Whoso is a partner with a thief hateth his own soul. He heareth the adjuration and uttereth nothing. Adjuration and uttereth nothing. Don't join in with somebody who's evil, which includes thieves, because if you do, you're going to lose your soul. That means you hate your soul. If you love your soul, you lose your soul. Go there. Be careful of the company that you keep. Leviticus 5:11 is a reference for that. If you want to go to the Old Testament, let's see if we want to get. Let's see if we can do this. The fear of a man bringeth. This is verse 25. The fear of a man bringeth a snare, but whosoever putteth his trust in God shall be safe. Living in fear will get you in more trouble and more situations in which you will be in more fear. Christ dealt with this when he said, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. I will warn you whom you shall fear. Fear him who after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him," talking about God. Luke 12, 4 through 4 and 5. Verse 26, "Many seek the ruler's favor, but a man's judgment cometh from Jehovah. Many seek the favor of a ruler, but from the Lord a man gets justice. Many seek being in the presence of a ruler, but only from the Lord one can expect him to give him righteous judgment." Number 27 says, "And the unjust man is an abomination to righteousness. But he that is upright in the way is an abomination to unrighteousness." Pitting God against evil. God against evil. All right, we're going to stop here and we're going to pick up on chapter 30 next week. And again, I encourage you, if you going back, think about any of these things that you don't fully understand and want to discuss them, whatever time it takes, we will do it. We will do it. Thank you, guys.